Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Are you a business looking for a fresh new way to reach potential customers? Well, you need to get airtime on IT TV, a 24/7 streaming and on-demand TV service online and on Roku. With Roku having a potential reach of 62 million people, it's a perfect opportunity to reach potential customers through affordable commercial and infomercial spots. Visit us online today at itnetwork.tv.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I just want to say happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, happy celebration. Whatever you're celebrating, make it happy. If you're not celebrating, hey, still a good reason to be happy. This is our last show for this week. We will be back on Monday morning. I'm going to get some rest, have some fun. I'm definitely going to eat a lot. Go around and visit and grab a couple of plates. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that is to go ahead and share this show. Send a text, send a tweet, send an email, make a post. Let your friends know that the last show of the holiday week is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your friends, I am going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. You have seen him here on this show plenty of times, and each time we learn from Dr. Shadi. Dr. Shadi is the CEO, he's the founder and chief medical officer of Vet Triage. Good morning, Dr. Shadi. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on again. This is fun.
It's a pleasure. I love when you're on, because I get to ask all these weird questions about animals and what they do and how you treat them. It's a learning experience for me. So for anyone in the world who doesn't know you by name, can you let us know who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about?
I'm a board-certified veterinary surgeon. I graduated from Cornell University in 2006. And since then, I've operated in many different facets of the veterinary profession. I've owned hospitals, worked for rescues, done general practice, emergency, and of course, specialty. And my latest venture has been telemedicine. Towards the end of 2019, after many years of working on it, I launched vettriage.com, recognizing there was a need for veterinary care, access to care, but also a problem with the veterinary culture. And so my current goal is to improve the veterinary culture on the long term, and in the short term, help as many animals as possible globally.
We're going to learn more about that, Dr. Shadi. But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the lovely Miss Jeanette Yao. Jeanette is the executive director and founder of Cilia Center, a support center that meets the critical needs of all those connected by foster care and adoption, and supports all those who serve the community in Los Angeles and beyond via support groups, mental health conferences, wolf healings, and art festivals. She is the clinical director of Yoff Therapy, which provides psychotherapy to children, teens, and their families, treating attachment, trauma, grief, and loss challenges. Good morning, Jeanette. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm excited. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from New York. I'm now a transplant in Los Angeles, and I am a psychotherapist. I work with children, teens, adults connected by foster care and adoption. I myself grew up in the New York State foster care system and was adopted at the age of 7 and a half. So this is near and dear to my heart. I'm very passionate about this work, and I'm here to help answer questions about being a therapist, adoption, foster care, and all that goes with that. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So many questions for you, but we're going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the incredible Miss Tina Baxter. Tina is an advanced practice registered nurse and a board certified gerontological nurse practitioner through the American Nurse Credentialing Center, who resides in Anderson, Indiana. Mrs. Baxter has been a registered nurse for over 20 years and a nurse practitioner for 14 years. Good morning, Tina. We might need you to fix that.
Gerontological, older adults.
How are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been in healthcare for over 25 years. I started out as a CNA working with older adults and loved it. And that's why that's my specialty. I've worked in a variety of settings, including inpatient, outpatient, nursing homes, hospice care. But in everything that I do, I just love working with seniors. And so that's kind of what I like.
Why seniors?
They have such a wealth of experience. Mm-hmm. I think that we miss out by not having conversations with people, and maybe people from different generations. And so there's things that they've seen that we don't remember, we don't know about. So, for example, my grandmother lived to be 101 years old.
Oh, wow.
So she lived through so much, and I wanted to hear for her stories.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. One of my closest friends was actually my landlord, and we just became friends over the years. But she, I just lost her in June of this year, but she was 99 years old, and I would just go and listen to all of her stories. And it was amazing to learn about all the things that she went through. Now, one of the things I want to go over to Jeanette, which was kind of interesting, I think it plays a theme with Dr. Shadi, is that when support, you know, we're always looking for ways to, something to hold on to, for lack of a better word, pets and things to make us feel better. Do you often work with pets in your, you know, practice?
Interesting. So I have had clients, like teenagers, bring in their emotional therapy animal into the therapy session. So yes, dogs, not cats. Well, actually, I've had a few cats in my office, kittens. Kitten therapy, I highly recommend. Just being in a room full of kittens it's going to boost your oxytocin. You're going to feel good. You're going to feel loved, and they're going to want your attention. And that unconditional love and regard for animals, and having that animal love you, especially if you have been traumatized, having that emotional therapy animal with you that just unconditionally, without judgment, loves you, gives you that attention that you need, and helps soothe your nervous system. So I'm a big advocate for utilizing animal therapy in a therapy practice.
There's been an increase from what I've seen, because previously, you know, I've never heard of an emotional support animals, emotional support pet. And now I see more and more people, they want to go into the store, maybe they're getting on an airplane, and like, oh, you can't do this. It's like, no, this is my emotional support animal that I need to support me. Have you seen an increase as well?
Yes. I mean, I get requests a lot. Can you write me a letter so that I can bring my animal on a flight, because I'm going cross country. And now with the pandemic, people have, their mental health has come forefront, and people are experiencing more anxiety, depression. There's been a lot of grief and loss in our country and around the world. So I do see an increase in people wanting to keep their animals as that transitional object with them, especially during the holidays and traveling. Yes.
Absolutely. Now, Tina, it used to be a joke. We used to kind of laugh, you know, you tell me, but we would think of people as the old lady with the cats. Like, that was the thing, the old lady with the cats. You don't want to be an old lady with the cats, but pets offer a lot of the seniors some type of support as well.
Yes, they do. In some of the assisted livings and nursery homes, we would have pet therapy, and the pets would come in and they would be petted. And then sometimes the residents are allowed to have their own pets as long as they're able to take care of them. What's nice is that now there's companies out there that have electronic pets for like dementia patients who can't take care of a live pet, but now they can have electronic pets.
That's new. I love doing this show. I tell people I do this show for selfish reasons. I get to learn. I never heard of electronic pet. I need one of those. I don't have dementia, but sometimes I forget a lot.
Yeah. I do better with house plants. I remember to water them at least once a week.
No, I tell people all the time, I don't do pets or plants. My kids are alive because they can talk. They're like, Mom, you know we need to eat. I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta feed these kids. I forgot all about it. My memory's been bad all my life. I'm only 45. Dr. Shadi, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the conversation.
Yeah, it's fantastic that both of you are incorporating animals into your work. I mean, we know from studies that it helps people, you know, with conditions. And regarding the emotional support animals, it what was a shame about that is that it kind of ran wild for a while there. Nobody was really controlling it. And you end up with these crazy stories where people had alligators and chinchillas as support animals, which, you know, fair enough. I mean, who am I to say? But now it seems like it's been tightened. And I think that at least to some degree, especially if you're going to bring them into public spaces or travel with your support animal, you probably should have to have some level of professional document, and you actually have a mental or physical or emotional disorder that warrants having that pet with you. But I think it's great that we do see healing, and it's shown in the studies that animals do heal us.
Now, Ken of Washington is looking for a small little puppy. Would you have any advice for Mr. Washington?
My number one advice for anybody looking for a new dog is make sure you do the research on the breed that you're looking for, because you want to make sure that breed's requirements matches your lifestyle. If you want a pet, a dog who's fairly lazy and low maintenance, well then, you know, getting like a hunting dog who needs to be worked all the time, or a shepherd who's very, very high energy is not your right fit. You know, at the same time, if you're a big hiker or runner, you're not going to want to get a bulldog. They can barely breathe when they're sitting still, let alone going outside to do activities. So you want to make sure you get the right breed, that their personality and their requirements matches what you're looking for. At the same time, please try to adopt. There are so many animals in the shelters that need homes, and maybe you can find the right breed personality, but in the context of a shelter.
Mm-hmm. Do you see more pets being adopted during the holidays, or are you working with more pets during this season?
We saw a huge boom during the pandemic. And so I don't know what this season is going to bring us, because so many folks have adopted pets during the pandemic. But normally, yes, around the holidays, especially Christmas time, you end up with newly adopted pets. That being said, there also used to be kind of a dark side to that, where you'd have pets being adopted by Christmas, and then by the end of January, they're being dropped off at the shelter because they realized it was kind of an impulse decision. It was a bad call. But we're actually seeing now that the data doesn't support that, which is good. That's really good. So more folks are adopting pets, even around the holidays, and they're actually keeping them and taking care of them. So that's a nice phenomenon to see.
That's good. And I think part of the issue is that maybe someone has gifted this pet to a child or a young person, because people used to always want to give my kids, especially my son, they always wanted to give him a pet. And I'm like, no, he cannot have a pet because I don't want a pet. You know, that's why they wind up in those situations. That'd be like giving me a pet. No, I don't want a pet. But Jeanette, I know that in addition to pets, the holidays are hard and difficult for people, especially people who have gone through a lot of trauma. Are you seeing this as well?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's stressful. There's a lot more happening. There's more families coming together. There's unfinished and unresolved issues within families. So that can cause a lot of strain and overwhelm. So I like to say, keep things less is more, and pace yourself. It's an acronym, PACE. P is be playful, present, and patient with yourself and with your family. A, accept you're doing the best that you can. Accept your family members are doing the best that they can. Let's not judge the person. We may not like how they're behaving, but still give them love and respect and regard. And C is be curious about how you're feeling. Do you need to talk to someone? Do you need to call someone and just share what's happening for you? A listening partner, that's someone who you designate, who listens to you, who doesn't give you unsolicited advice, doesn't fix you, just listens to you. And that in and of itself is therapeutic. And then E, have empathy for yourself and for others. Pace yourself. I love that acronym. I teach this to all my families, and it's a really nice acronym to remember and utilize at any given time in any given circumstance and place. So I hope that's helpful.
It helped me. I'll have to remember that. The only P that I have is my dad is always telling me, be patient with yourself and others. Sharifa, be patient with yourself and others, because I'm a go, 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 make it happen. You know, I don't stay down long. I'm like, get up, get going, you know, get over. And my dad's like, be patient. So I have to remember the ACE, but I'm definitely with you on the P. Now, we're talking about the holidays a little bit, Tina. And I know holidays can be very difficult for seniors, especially because as they get older, they lose more and more people. They lose their support group. One of the things, you know, again, my friend, Mrs. Sally Martin at 99, she would always talk about, that's a funny story. At least it was funny to me. I was running for Long Beach City Council and she was telling me, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to get people to help you. And she said, I'm going to call Betty Sue. And then she goes, Betty Sue is dead. And I was like, okay. She's like, well, I'll call Mike Jones. Mike Jones is dead. And I'm like, okay, Mrs. Martin, are there people who are alive that can help us? But you know, as you get older and older, you know, you lose the people, you lose the support, you lose the loved ones. So again, Tina, the holidays, the seasons, this time can be very difficult for seniors.
It can be. And I just had a conversation with someone yesterday. I work in mental health, geropsych. And she was saying that I asked what she was doing for Thanksgiving. And she's like, well, I don't have any family. My family's gone. No children. Doesn't have any friends because of her depression. All of her friends abandoned her. And then add on the fact that there's a, you know, still a pandemic going on. And so social isolation is really something that for older adults can be very detrimental. And we've certainly seen that with some of the seniors that were isolated in the nursing home during the height of the pandemic, not able to see their loved ones or only able to communicate with them through the window. And I have someone that I take care of at a nursing home. And so we had many window visits during the pandemic. And so it's nice for them to be able to have people come in now. And sometimes their aide or their home health aide, they're the only people that they see. I volunteer with Meals on Wheels. I'm on their board. And our volunteers go out and deliver food to the homebound, particularly a lot of seniors. And sometimes that may be their only visitor that they get.
Is there any advice that you would give to make it easier for the families of seniors?
I would say call and check on them. Make time for people. That's one of my mantras, is to make time for people. So if you can, you know, encourage them to go and join some sort of activity group. Like there's a senior center near them. A lot of times I try to get them involved in adult daycare groups because they'll provide transportation and take them back and forth and also meals, and they get a chance to be around other people. My own grandmother, she moved into an assisted living when she was about 99, 100. And that for her was great because she actually got to be around other people that she could talk to. And so for her last bit of her life, she was happy to have someone there with her the whole time. So again, you want to be sure that we check on our neighbors. If we know we have an older neighbor this coming winter time, go by and check on them. See how they're doing. Make sure they're able to get their groceries. Maybe, you know, they have trouble navigating the computer, so they can't order their groceries online. So maybe they need some help getting that done. So just being aware of the people that are around you.
Yes, I definitely agree. You know, I tell people, even though Mrs. Martin lived to 99 years old, I truly believe in my heart of hearts that had it not been for the pandemic, she would at least seen a 102, 103, you know, because this lady at 97 years old will walk a mile each way every day. She went to do Tai Chi. She went to do yoga. She went to the senior center and she took the bus just about everywhere. But then when the pandemic hit, and, you know, she had to stay home. She literally sat in a chair for about a year. And then she laid in a bed for a year, you know, and her everything just declined. And she didn't have anyone to talk to. So definitely important. Definitely important. Jeanette, I want to go back to you for a minute, because one of the things that Tina mentioned is the aspect of checking on your neighbors. But I don't think it's just important to check on your neighbors for seniors. I think we need to be a little bit more neighborly, because people are suffering, they're going through it.
Yes, and being open to meeting your neighbors. I mean, we live in a community now where people don't know your neighbor. People, it's such a different world, you know. I mean, I'm a mother myself. When I was a kid growing up in New York, it was always calling us to come into the house. Now it's we're telling kids, get out of the house, like go out. But it's a different world today. It's not as safe, right? We don't know what the world is going to bring, so we scaffold children. However, it's important to go out in your community. I volunteer. I was a big sister for many years, and I would work at the Girls and Boys Club and volunteering at soup kitchens, volunteering at homeless shelters with families. Getting out and involving yourself in your community is so impactful. And that's what brought me to create Celia Center, which is named after my first mother, who I could not live with as a child due to her mental illness. And Celia Center I created because I wanted to create a community in Los Angeles and know who else was connected by this lifelong process of adoption. And I now have so many more friends who are adult adoptees. So many, I know so many children now, and we're a community and we create support groups for our community. So I chose to make a difference, and it really starts with each one of us. Each one of us, if you're passionate about something, I started it with one support group I did every month for 2 hours, and people came. And, you know, when you have an idea and it brings people together, it will flourish. People will want to be there. So I hope that this conversation inspires you to be a difference in your community and bring people together.
Absolutely. Dr. Shadi, I think your idea has inspired people and you're bringing people together. You saw a need and you're filling it.
Yeah, you know, being a board certified specialist, I've gone through much more training than most of my colleagues have gone through. And so I've seen sort of the differences in the culture from different levels of being trained. You know, at first, you know, you vet student and then intern and then resident and then staff person. And there's the cultural toxicity is rampant throughout the profession. And so we're seeing our fair share of mental health disease in the vet field, compassion fatigue, suicide rates, burnout, all those are common terms now. And one of the aspects of vet triage is not just to increase access to pet care on the animal side, on the pet owner side, but also to provide veterinarians with another option for their profession, so they can work in an environment that maybe isn't so negative. On the flip side to that, as we partner up with more veterinary clinics and hospitals and rescues, we find that if we can offload patients from their very busy lives, it helps their mental health. So they can focus on those animals that truly need help, and they can feel as though they can breathe a little bit to handle their immense caseload that they see day in and day out. So the culture needs to be fixed. And one of our goals with that triage is to do just that. And so I saw a need for that over 15, 16 years of doing this. And so said, you know what, let's leave the operating room as a board certified surgeon, and let's figure this out. Let's make telemedicine the way to kind of help everybody bridge the gap here for better mental health.
Yes, but it also allows the pet owner the ability to relax and to breathe, because they don't have to worry about the hours of their local veterinarian.
Those of us in the medical profession know, you know, Dr. Google, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people are always looking up medical advice online, and you can get it. You can get all the advice you want. You just don't know how accurate it is. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know whether or not you should follow that advice or not. And so we'll get plenty of folks on Vet Triage who tried Googling something themselves. They weren't satisfied, of course. And so they want to talk to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. So I've got about 25 veterinarians on my team, all interviewed and hired by me, and they're all compassionate, intelligent individuals. We give pet owners peace of mind. They, anytime, day or night, doesn't matter where you're located on the globe, you can talk to a veterinarian and get peace of mind. Some folks have a simple just question, just I need to ask somebody because I don't know what to do and I'm freaking out, it's 2 a.m. Some have serious medical issues, need help finding the nearest emergency hospital, and everything in between. So it absolutely reduces their anxiety, gives them the power of knowledge so they know what the next step is for their pet.
Can it be any pet?
We're up to 27, 28 different animals, everything from fish to squirrels to sheep, dogs, cats, rabbits, chinchillas, birds, reptiles, you name it. We've seen it. Our latest one was a baby otter that had to be transported from one aspect of Alaska to some ferry to go to a marine facility to get care. And so they use telemedicine to kind of connect the dots here. So they use Vet Triage for that. And that was crazy. So it's crazy in a good way. So yes, it could be any animal that you need help with, we can help.
Well, that's good. See, I'm not a pet owner, pet lover. I kind of get surprised by some of the pets. Like you mentioned fish. Like if the fish was flopping around, I'd be like, oh, we lost the fish. You know what I mean?
It shows the emotional connection that people have with their pets. You know, it's mentally healthy. And you know, we tend to trust people more who love animals. You know, if you're somebody who says, I hate animals, like who says that? You know, but I know at least on the outskirts that studies show that folks that have an animosity towards animals don't necessarily have also the best mental health, you know, and they end up doing things, you know, murders and stealing and domestic violence. And so it means something. So, you know, if they're going to spend the $50 on a Vet Triage session on a $2 goldfish, they love that pet. Mm-hmm. And sure, we'll do our best to help, of course.
No, I don't have animosity against pets or hate pets. Is I think the emotional attachment for me is that I know I'm going to forget to feed this pet, you know, and I don't want anything to happen to the pet. So I'd rather not take the pet on because I know myself. And that's one of the things. Another one of my dad's favorite expressions is know thyself. And I know by now that I need to talk to people like Jeanette. They go, how do I get over this feeling of not wanting pets or just be more open to change, I guess.
Well, being open to change is actually trying something new, a dose, a little bit at a time. You can't just, we don't jump in the deep end of a pool. Okay, I think of that analogy. You step in the shallow end of the pool step by step. And that's how change happens, by taking a risk and feeling the reward of that risk and thinking about what that felt like for you. Thinking about, did I feel good? Do I like this? Let me do it again. Let me try this experience again. And that change, once you do it dose by dose by dose, and you start internalizing a sense of, oh, I like this. This is enjoyable. You'll be able to then go in that experience deeper. So I like to say, do research. Okay, mm-hmm. Just research is just going out. You don't know something until you actually try it. And let me tell you something, the experience, the brain, the way the brain works is it has to have an experience first. Our brain will have automatic negative thoughts. That's, I call them ants, automatic negative thoughts. They're little ants. They're going to come in and our brains are Velcro for negative, looking at the negative. So you have to do what's called reality testing and go into an experience to feel the reality of that experience and go, oh, now this is changing my irrational thought, that negative thought that I didn't even think this would be like this. And now it's a whole different experience for you. And now you're going to see the world differently and you're going to see yourself differently in that experience. So it's worth the risk. But do it a little bit at a time. So you build that tolerance, you build that experience for yourself, and take the risk, learn something new, go out in the world, explore for yourself, and do the research. You're worth it. You're worth it.
I like it. I just like your calming voice. I just want to call and talk to you. You're worth it. I love it. We're having an interesting conversation, but we do have to stop for a brief commercial break, and we will be right back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kimberly Cloud. I have Wigs for Success Incorporated, which deals with men and women of all races, of all genders, with alopecia, cancer, and other debilitating illnesses. If you would like to know more about my nonprofit organization and why I chose to do it, you can reach me at 443-240-7353. If you would also like to donate, you can reach me at wigsforsuccessincorporated.com. Thank you.
I've had this problem.
Big problem.
I really, really needed
a good business consultant.
And I kept searching and searching.
There are so many choices.
It's really hard to find one that has all the things on my list. But I finally did it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you.
If you were looking for one as well,
look no further.
Here's a really good one.
Just use mine.
Use mine.
I'm very satisfied.
Definitely recommend.
Problem gone.
Thank you.
Join us for Spiritual Renewal for Nurses. Suicide risk for nurses is noted to be double the rate of women in the general public. Nurses are facing greater challenges during this unprecedented time. Join us for our Day of Spiritual Renewal for Nurses on November the 27th. Tickets are available through Eventbrite and Facebook. If you're having suicidal thoughts, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Tina. Can you tell us a little bit more about your upcoming event, why you decided to have it, and what it is?
Well, I was just thinking, listening to the good doctor there, talking about veterinarians, and it didn't occur to me to include veterinarians in those in that conversation because I didn't know about the culture, right? The toxic culture you talked about. And so we have a similar issue in nursing. I've been covering on my show, my live show, the nursing shortage, the pandemic, nurses are going on strike, nurses are feeling really burned out and are leaving the profession in droves. And one of the reasons, because of the breakdown in mental health resources, when you feel guilty about taking a day off, because if you take a day off, that means your colleagues might be short staffed, but you may need that day off. And so what I wanted to do, instead of just reporting about it and sounding the alarm, I wanted to do something about it. And so I put together a Day of Spiritual Renewal for Nurses. And of course, it's open to other healthcare professionals, and certainly we love to have therapists and veterinarians on there as well. But I really wanted to focus, as a nurse, I wanted to focus on us and being able to help us heal. A lot of times, you know, nurses, we come in and help with the healing process of our patients, but what happens when we're broken? And I'm seeing more and more of that. And I thought, let's get together and pray together, encourage one another, and just have a time for us as healthcare professionals. So that's what we have coming up this coming Saturday. And tickets are still available on our Facebook page and also through Eventbrite.
What is your Facebook page?
It is BaxterProfessionalServices.com.
Okay. Is it virtual?
Oh, Facebook. It's virtual. It's virtual. So you can come from wherever, right? It's virtual. And I've had a lot of nurses reach out to me and say, thank you for having this. I can't believe someone's having this. So join us. And this might not be our last one. This is our first one, but I don't think it will be our last. I'm hoping to have one in person for people that are local. But if you're wherever you are, join us. We'd be happy to have you.
Dr. Shadi, your thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, I'd love to share your link on my social media platforms and have veterinarians join in on that event. That sounds fantastic. And I'm part of several organizations that are focused really on telemedicine. And I keep telling them, and I'm not sure they're taking it seriously just yet, we're not going to have a profession to speak of in the next 10 years if we keep going like this. is the same thing. We're graduating the highest number of veterinary students in our history, and yet we don't know where they are to hire them in the brick and mortar facilities. It doesn't make any sense. Where are they going? And the newer generations, the millennials, now the Gen Zs, they're the type of folks that say, if I don't like this job, I'm just not going to do it, despite the fact that they devoted their entire lives to the education and now have hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt from school. If they get their first job and they're like, this sucks, I'm out of here, then they're out of there. And that's it. Done. They're not going back. And so we're seeing that, as you said, in drones, we're seeing that. So the profession is dying. And on top of that, it's compounded with the fact that there's more adoptions than ever because of COVID, and more and more folks are having less children, more pets. They're also a lot more dedicated to their pets. They're willing to spend the money on their pets. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff is just fueling this fire, and we've got to fix it. Telemedicine through vet triage is one aspect of how to fix that, but that's not the end all solution to this. So I share your sentiment. We are seeing a similar issue in our profession that's incredibly debilitating.
Mm-hmm. Jeanette, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yes, I mean, burnout, the first sign and signal that you're burning out and actually experiencing compassion fatigue is you lose your sense of humor. And that's really important to think about, because when you're providing and giving to others constantly, you're not providing and meeting your unmet needs. And what happens is we tend to resent that we're always having to take care of other people, which causes anger and frustration. So if you could take a look at yourself and think, am I losing my sense of humor? Do I need to connect with someone else? Do I need to go seek out some mental health care? It's okay. Listen, I was raised in foster care. I was adopted at the age of 7.5. I entered therapy when I was 13 years old because I almost ended my life. And I've been in therapy since the age of 13. I still go to therapy. There's nothing shameful about therapy. It makes you a better person. It makes you a human being, so you can have compassion for yourself first and foremost. Everyone today, no one goes through life unscathed. You will experience something, either big T trauma or little T trauma. And it's okay to have empathy, grieve your losses. When you're able to have empathy and grieve your own losses, you will be better able to be with other people, have compassion for other people, and you'll want to have more people around you. When we isolate, that incubates the feeling of, I'm alone, I'm isolated, who's out there like me? So again, taking that risk, reaching, and I love this quote. I didn't create it. It was created by Dustin Hoffman. Fall reaching. Fall reaching. There is help out there. Don't knock the help out there. There is help. There's your neighbor. Again, it could be someone. Ask someone for a referral. Do you know a good therapist? Do you know someone who takes my insurance? Call your insurance company. There is help. So that's what I want to say, answering your question about that.
No, that was beautiful. That was wonderful. And I definitely agree. I didn't know one of the first things that you lose is your sense of humor. But I do know for myself, one of the things that I do is when I'm feeling a certain way, I will say, Sharifa, you got to shift your mood. That's what I call it, shifting my mood, because I'm noticing that I'm not as playful. I'm not as happy. I love to joke. I love to make people laugh. So yes, I definitely agree. It is the sense of humor. But one of the other things that I saw during the course of my shows is I had a guest on the show. She said that she saw someone who made a flyer. And on the flyer, it said, if you need any help, or if you need anything, or you just need someone to talk to, you need someone to go to the grocery store, get your groceries, please give me a call. And so she decided to do the same thing. She put her name, she put her phone number on it, and she distributed the flyer all over her network, all over her neighborhood. But what was interesting that she learned was she did not get one call from anyone asking for help. However, she did get calls from people saying, hey, I live right across the street, or I live down the street and I never knew you were there. So now she made all these new friends that she never would have made otherwise.
Incredible. Incredible. Amazing.
We're always looking for ways to meet new people.
Yes. So I have a support group that I run, and it's also on Zoom. Everything just expanded to Zoom, and it's December 1st. And if you go to my webpage, celiacenter.org, that's my nonprofit, and Yoff Therapy is my mental health practice. And we have 5 therapists on my staff, and we provide mental health teletherapy right now. We do focus predominantly on foster care and adoption, but we have therapists that are EMDR certified, proficient in anxiety, depressive disorders. So we have a lot of therapists available and ready if you're seeking therapy in the state of California, that is, of course. And I just want to shout out that November is National Adoption Month and a National Adoption Awareness Month, not for animals, for adoption. And I wrote a book and I just published it, and it's for children. What is adoption? And I just wanted to give a big shout out. This is written from my heart, and I help kids understand how adoption is formed, what happens in the court system, and there are mental health interventions for children to help them with their grief and loss of not being able to stay with their families of origin due to the number of circumstances, because children are placed in the child welfare system because they are in situations that are deemed unsafe. So just wanted to give a shout out to all of anyone listening or wanting to learn more about adoption. Please, if you know a child who's been adopted, this is a great book for them. Thank you.
You are welcome. I think it is a great book. But do you feel that our adoption system and our adoption process needs to be revamped? I have a cousin of mine who was in the foster system. And I don't know if she was living with a foster mom. And when she became 18 years old, on her 18th birthday, her foster mom said, "You're 18. You have to go be out by the end of the day." And it just was very difficult for her.
Yes, there is a lot that needs to be rethought about foster care and adoption. Listen, we live in a country where mothers are still not supported. And mothers, when they are supported and have the right conditions set and the resources available, they are capable of mothering their children. What happens is mothers aren't supported, they feel overwhelmed, and they're afraid to reach out for help. And that's when things can go in a disarray, and there can be many challenges. And to feel isolated and to be a mother, parenting any child is challenging. Parenting a child with trauma history or has witnessed domestic violence, it's even harder to parent. And if you have multiple children and you're working and you're paying for daycare, there's a lot that goes on. So mothers in our country need more support. We need more resources for mothers. And talking about foster care is about reunification. It's about reunifying that child with their family so they can go back home again. But what happens is children get stuck in the system. They don't get reunified, and they go from place to place, and then they may become adopted or they may go into a group home. And the older they get, they're harder to place, which means it's harder to find a placement where they will be adopted. So we stop this multiple placement system. Now, Medi-Cal has been extended till the age of 21 now. So children can remain in their foster homes till the age of 21. They don't need to transition out at 18. That's in the state of California. So that was something that changed that helped foster youth not have to leave at the age of 18, because they're still vulnerable. They're still learning, and they still need the support of their family. They can't just go out in the world when they're 18 without that guidance, without that mentoring. So mentoring, if you're interested, you can mentor a foster youth. You can be a CASA advocate. That's a court-appointed special advocate, where you can advocate on behalf of that child's life. And you become a significant person in that child's life. They talk about resilience, and I can talk all day about this, but it's one person being in a child's life or an adolescent's life that plants the seed of resilience for that child. And I had that. I had many different therapists and people that stuck by me that never gave up. So that's also something you can do if you're thinking about volunteering and providing for a child, because there are so many children across the country that need a mentor, someone who sees them, hears them, and is not going to abandon them. We all matter, we're all important, and we all have special needs, especially foster youth. They are more vulnerable and they have many needs unmet. So I highly encourage you to look into that if you're interested. Every state has a CASA organization, C-A-S-A.
No, I like that. What's interesting, and it's always like a common theme. I don't know how it is, but today's show, we have Dr. Shadi out there advocating for the pets and the vets. And then we have Tina over here advocating for the seniors. And Jeanette's like, wait a minute, we got to take care of the kids. I'm pretty sure, Tina, the seniors, you know, they need someone, and the nurses need someone to advocate for them as well.
I agree. Oftentimes, I was just talking to my husband this morning about Britney Spears' case, right? And we all heard about Britney Spears and the fact that her father had pretty much taken over her entire life. But we've got a lot of seniors that fall into that gap. And so I'm a big advocate for seniors, and we're going to talk about things like elder abuse. And so you want to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, as you say. So as an older adult, I encourage you to find that person that's going to be your advocate for you, that will do what you want them to do, that will make the best decisions for you when you cannot make decisions for yourself. And it's important to make sure that you get the power of attorney, that you talk to an estate planning attorney to get that taken care of, because you want to make sure that the person making decisions about you is someone you trust. And I've seen it to where someone has not had anyone to advocate for them. So you have to get someone from the state, and they do the best that they can, but they may not know you. You know, it's a person appointed by the state. They don't know your likes, dislikes. They don't know what your values are. They just have to make the best decisions. And so sometimes it's their best guess. So I always encourage people to have those conversations with your family. And if it's not your family, maybe it's a family friend. Maybe you don't trust your family. I've had that happen where the family are the ones that are, you know, perpetrators of the abuse. So they have to have a family friend to take care of them. That's kind of sort of the situation with the lady I'm taking care of. Not that her family was abusive, but her family mentally is not capable of taking care of her. So she was a lady at my church. And so I'm stepped in as her POA. And so you need to make sure that you have someone that knows what your wishes are and that you trust to make the best decisions for you. And unfortunately, what I see in the mental health system is that people who were able to live on their own independently, they sort of age out the local mental health center. And so their next step is from your own apartment with someone helping you to, boom, you're stuck in a nursing home. And so we need to do a lot better about helping those individuals age in place.
So we age out of the foster system. We age out of seniors, age out. There's a lot of aging out going on in this country, I see. Now, one of the things that I wanted to ask earlier, and I went a different direction, what are wolf healings? I was curious about
that. Oh, yeah. So there's a place called Wolf Connection, and it's here in Acton, California. And I was invited with a friend many years ago to just be with, see this new, actually, this man had adopted 7 wolves that were abandoned by their owners. And he just loved wolves. So I said, what's your plan with these wolves? And he said, well, I'm thinking about, I don't know, maybe doing programs, creating a place where we can rescue abandoned wolves and wolf dogs. I said, oh, this would be an amazing program for children in foster care in the system. They could come visit Wolf Connection and get healed, because he was explaining to me that wolves are actually healing animals. just being our perception of wolves is what? Negative perception. They're going to eat you. You're going to be attacked. Fear the wolves. But actually, they are wounded healers. And these wolf dogs were abused, abandoned, or neglected by their owners because wolves cannot be domesticated. They have to live in a pack and they need each other. And so when I learned about the wolf dogs, I said, wow, just being in their presence for kids would help them be more aware of their own nervous system and help them learn impulse control, patience, understand that these wolves and wolf dogs were abandoned or neglected and they need special care and they need us to be slow, calm in our words, in our tone, in our movements. And it really is now, it's now a program that children go, adolescents go meet with the wolves, you pet the wolves, you learn to be with the wolves, and you really, what you're learning to do in essence is be with yourself and regulate. It's really the focus is, and really that's what the whole goal of mental health is regulating your stressors and being able to regulate your own nervous system and take self-responsibility for when you start to become overwhelmed, you have your coping skills. So it's now a program. So now I bring adolescents there. I bring whole families now. And we're with the wolves. And we actually realize beyond ourselves how much we are connected to nature, animals, and that we all matter to each other. So the wolves have so much to teach us. And so I highly recommend you look up Wolf Connection, and they have retreats all the time. So anyone can go. You don't have to go with a private organization. You can go and meet with the wolves and go on a hike. And it's incredible. I highly recommend it. It will just change your perception about wolves and yourself. So I highly encourage you to look into Wolf Connection. It's an amazing place. And I've been going there for years. And it's really changed me because I just felt a deeper connection to our world. And so.
That is beautiful.
Connection, yeah.
Dr. Shadi.
Animals, right? Dr. Shadi. Have you worked on any wolves or wolf dogs yet?
Mm-hmm. One wolf. We removed a tumor from his leg. And I was rechecking the wolf to see how the stitches were going. And I mean, despite the wolf clearly showing just, you know, submissive behavior, I think I never sweat so much in my life. That inherent fear was just, it just came through, like, to my surprise. I'm like, how am I this terrified? But, you know, what are you going to do? And what's interesting about the wolf interaction is, you know, that's where our domesticated canines came from, right? You know, it began as kind of a reciprocal relationship. You know, as hunters, you know, we will feed you, wolf, you protect the campsite. And that happens over generations on the wolf's side. And you end up you start selecting for the more and more domesticated wolves that eventually turns into, as you know, this is natural selection and evolution that eventually transformed the wolf into what we know now as a domesticated dog. So that relationship was built on, for lack of a better phrase, a term, trust. It's right. The beginning part had to start with trust, and you had to say, okay, well, this is how we're going to operate. You know, if you meet your end of the bargain, we'll meet ours. We'll have a mutually beneficial relationship. Well, now look where we're at today. You know, dogs are wearing, you know, Halloween costumes, bed, and you know, they're part of our lives. You know, emotional support and all of this stuff. And for the folks who can't have kids, this is now their kids, and so they've really that relationship has become what we know of it today with our interaction with our domesticated dogs. So very cool. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I don't know if I won't say I can't do it because I never used the word can, but I'll be like Dr. Shadi. I'll be like, terrified of these wolves.
I mean, sweat pouring. I was pouring. And it was fine. Nothing happened.
Yeah, they're actually very loving animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would be really surprised. They're very loving animals.
Wow, we have had an incredible show, an incredible week. This was a lot of fun how it all came together, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Miss Tina.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for having me today. And to those nurses out there and those that are in healthcare, you don't have to leave the profession and leave your skills behind. I love what the Good Doctor's doing with his project. And so I have what's called the Nurse Shark Academy. The Nurse Shark Academy is where I help nurses build their own businesses. So if you have a business idea as a nurse and you want to see if you can make something of it, let's have a call. You know, we'll start out with a clarity call and talk about that. And so I help nurses build their own business as an entrepreneur myself. I like to see other nurses thrive. So I do want to say that for the those that are helping their older adults and working with seniors, if you have questions, you can certainly contact us at thenurseshark.academy.com, and we'll be happy to talk to you as well about senior care.
Thank you, Tina. Ms. Jeanette, what do you have for the people?
Well, it is National Adoption Awareness Month, so any adoptive or foster parents watching the show, I would love for you to check out my YouTube channel, Genetically Speaking, Jeanette-itically speaking about foster care, adoption, and mental health related to foster care and adoption, because you cannot parent a child who's been in foster care and adoption the same way as you would parent a child who is not adopted. So it's really important to know that there's a different paradigm to be attachment-focused, trauma-focused, and relationship focused, because most of the kids that come into the foster care system have attachment trauma. So the relationship is key when disciplining. So having said that, I also have YOF therapy. We have adoption competent therapists, foster care competent therapists available through teletherapy in the state of California. I also wrote a book. It's called Working with Traumatized Children, Teens and Families in Foster Care and Adoption. And there's a lot of DIY interventions that you can do with your child at home. And I also wrote a play called What's Your Name? Who's Your Daddy? And last November, actually, no, November before, I wrote it 20 years ago, and I did it in New York. In Los Angeles. And when I did it 20 years ago, I didn't publish it until 2 years ago, and I recorded it on Audible. And it's the child's point of view moving through the foster care system. And it's really been helping families really understand what a child needs. So I hope that you look at some of these books and my What is Adoption book that I showed earlier, because I'm just here to provide you with psychoeducational support and therapeutic support so you can be the best parent you can be to your foster or adopted child.
I love it. I was waiting for more books to come up. I was like, wait, there's more. There's more. I love it.
I just published this one, so it's like near and dear to my heart. But I'm getting a lot of great feedback from this. So I always wanted to do a children's book, and I finally did one. So
that's beautiful. Thank you, Miss Jeanette. Dr. Shadi, we had another great show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this was fantastic to be in the presence of other medical professionals who are not just great at what they do, but also worried about the mental health of their constituents. That's massive. So please, that is great. Thank you for the work that you do. It's tough. Any pet parent, 24/7 veterinary telemedicine at vettriage.com. You can find me on Instagram, my YouTube channel. And then for those folks who own clinics or who manage clinics at hospitals, 24-hour ER specialty rescue organizations, reach out to me. We can help with your immense caseload, help with the mental health of the profession, improve the culture by providing your clients another way of collecting a pet advice. And so we can work in tandem to figure out how we can improve the culture in your facility, give pet parents another option around the clock with veterinarians 24/7 virtually around the globe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you sharing the show. But as always, I ask that you support our guests. Visit their websites. Check out Miss Tina's event. Pick up at least two or three copies of some of Miss Jeanette's books. And if you are a pet owner, you definitely want to go to vettriage.com with your any issues with your pet. Support our guests. Visit their websites. The link is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning, everyone have a blessed, a safe, and happy Thanksgiving, a happy holidays, and I'll see you Monday. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.